Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Monday, January 25th, 2015. I'm your host, Scott Burton. On today's show, we'll learn about next weekend's Platypus Con. Dana Herndon, Sean Blumenschein, and Paul Hackenmuller will be here to highlight the upcoming Innovation Summit. Christina Pollock from the vocal group Alaskapella will be here to talk about their upcoming trip to Carnegie Hall. We'll get a preview of this week's Forum at 360, Finding True North. And we'll talk with Jesse Post and Pua Manu about this weekend's wine and art fundraiser. Those interviews, National Native News Writers Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A First Nations community in Saskatchewan is still reeling from a school shooting that police describe as one of the worst in Canada. A teenager shot and killed two people in a home in the remote community on Friday. He then went to the local high school and shot several more people, killing two more. More from Dan Karpinchuk.
Witnesses in the school described running from the gunshots as the shooter apparently fired at whoever he came across. At the school, a teacher and an assistant teacher were killed. Seven others, including students, were wounded, at least two critically. When police arrived, the gunman was taken into custody within minutes. The 17-year-old, who cannot be named under the Youth Criminal Justice Act, has been charged with four counts of first-degree murder and seven counts of attempted murder. Georgina Jolibois is the Member of Parliament for the region and a former mayor of La Loche. She had nephews and nieces in the school at the time of the shooting. They were safe, but others weren't. Jolibois says the community has faced adversity before.
We're a strong Dene community. Family and friends will come together and give each other support. Agencies come together. Thoughts and prayers with not only family and friends, staff, the RCMP, the EMT, and everybody who's working together right now. To get through today.
La Loche is a remote community about 400 miles northwest of Saskatoon. Most of its 3,000 residents are First Nations. Teddy Clark is the chief of the nearby Clearwater River Dene Nation.
It's kind of hard to explain, you know, a lot of things today. You know, a lot of heavy hearts, a lot of thoughts around all this, a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of whys, you know, and it's just a difficult time.
In the town on Sunday, a mass was held for the victims. Special prayers were also said. Across Saskatchewan, flags were lowered at schools and a candlelight vigil was held. In attendance, the Premier of the province, Canada's Public Safety Minister, and the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Federal government offices are shut down following the weekend's massive snowstorm on the East Coast. It's also impacting business on Capitol Hill. The U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs is postponing meetings this week due to the weather in Washington, D.C. The meeting to consider water rights legislation was to take place on Wednesday, but will now be heard on February 3rd. The hearing re-examining the substandard quality of Indian health care in the Great Plains will immediately follow the business meeting. Health officials, including from the Indian Health Service, are expected to testify at the hearing. The Kenaitse Indian tribe on Alaska's Kenai Peninsula informed the public on social media the offices are expected to open today after Sunday's earthquake. The tribe is reminding people to brush up on emergency preparedness after the magnitude 7.1 earthquake. Managers of other tribal buildings, including in Anchorage, are encouraging people to take precautions as people assess damage. In New York, leaders of the Oneida Indian Nation and Whitesboro are expected to meet and discuss the village's logo. It features a white man and an Indian. The white man appears to be choking the Native American man. The image has recently drawn national attention, many calling it racist. The tribe and nearby town are expected to work together on a new design. An advocate for Indian country is being remembered for his contributions to environmental protection, tribal utilities, youth initiatives, and veterans affairs. Catawba Indian Nation Assistant Chief Wayne George passed away last week at his home in Rock Hill, South Carolina. He was a Marine veteran who served during the Vietnam War. George also served on the board of the United South and Eastern Tribes. United South and Eastern Tribes President Brian Patterson says George's tireless work had a lasting impact on many tribal nations and individuals in Indian country. George was 67 years old at the time of his death. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. For 45 years, NARCA stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at NARF.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juno afternoon here on January 25th, 2016. It's about 6 minutes after the hour. Scott Burton, your host, and joining me now in the studio is Josh Warren. He's the president, and Shay Wilson, he is the board member with Platypus Conference or Platypus Con. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you here. So Platypus Con, it's in your second year. It's coming up this weekend. It's 3 days. Josh, tell us about it.
It's a fun, like, if you want to play board games, we're there all weekend. We go till 2 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. We'll have tournaments. We'll have plenty of people who can teach you games, even if you've never played before. We'll have a Magic the Gathering draft for people who are interested in that. We're just looking to have a fun time playing with others.
And so I take it that, so this is your second annual. Last year's must have gone well to do it again.
Yeah, we definitely went over what we were hoping for, not so that it was over full, but we got a lot of support last year, enough to keep doing it and hoping to continue to grow.
Okay. Shay, tell me about some examples of the games that people will be playing there this weekend.
Well, we've got a lot of miniature-based war gaming, and we've got lots of card and dice gaming, party games, worker placement, all types of board games and games you play with friends and family.
Okay. What draws you to gaming, Josh? What do you like about it?
It definitely gives a way to socialize with more of a structure. I'm not terribly good at small talk, and I like having to think my way through the problems and to have joined experience with other players. There's a lot of, in my personal private group, we have a lot of inside jokes that have spawned just from playing other board games. I like that, and I like to share with other people who might not have yet had that fun.
All right. Shay, what age groups, what's minimum age for this?
I'll step in one quick second and say you can go as little as you want. Child passes are for under 14, but Shay's actually pretty experienced with kid games, so I'll let him talk.
Yeah, my children who are 6 and 5 will be there. One thing we do ask is that none of us are licensed child care people, so bring an adult. if you're under 13, have an adult with you. But we have board games ranging the whole range for something for everybody.
Okay. Sounds like a lot of fun. What is Blood Bowl? I saw in the description.
Blood Bowl is essentially a fantasy rugby or football match that's played with pretty highly detailed miniatures, and some people make their own custom fields out of wood and other materials to play it on. And there's a group in town called the Juno Blood Bowl League who essentially run a league throughout the year. And I believe they're running their championships, although it might just be league games this weekend.
And thinking back to last year, what was the atmosphere like? Is it quiet? Are people sitting there gaming? Is it raucous? What's it like in the Jack?
It's not too raucous. We had a couple of groups that were playing very social games, and they could get a little loud, but most people were sitting, having a good time with friends, like a restaurant or something, not muted conversations throughout. People sitting at their tables.
Okay. If somebody does want to go, Josh, how do they do that?
You can buy a ticket through Hearthside or the Jack or online. Or if you want, you can show up and we can sell you a pass there, assuming we haven't filled up the hall.
And remind me the prices?
It's $25 for the full weekend or $15 for a day. And the kids we were talking about earlier are $10 for the entire weekend.
So it starts on Friday, right? At what time?
It starts Friday at 6 p.m. going till 2 a.m. And then Saturday it starts at 10 and goes till 2 a.m. And then lastly on Sunday it starts at 10 a.m. again, but we only go till 6 p.m. on Sunday.
Well, it sounds like fun. If somebody wants more information, Josh, where should they go?
We have a wonderful website at platypusgaming.org. And we also have a Facebook page if that's more to your liking. You can just search for Platypus Gaming there.
All right. Anything else you guys want to add?
Just that we hope to see everyone there and have a fun time with them.
Great. Thanks for your time, guys.
This station comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, located at 1619 Glacier Avenue in downtown Juneau. offering aqua aerobics on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m. and stretch aquatics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45 a.m. Schedules are available online at juno.org/park/pool. More information at 586-5325.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, January 25th, 2016. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 15 minutes after the hour. I have a fun crew here from the Innovation Summit, both JEDC and Ha'ani. We have Dana Herndon, Sean Blumenschein, and Paul Hackenmuller. Welcome to the show, you three.
Thanks,
hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, nice to have you. So, Innovation Summit, this thing sounds great. It's coming up in
2 weeks.
February, 2 weeks, yeah.
Exactly.
8th and 9th, right. It's on a Monday and Tuesday. Dana, you want to give us a little outline of what it looks like?
Sure. So, the Innovation Summit, it's now in its fifth year, and it's a forum for basically business owners, NGO organizations, tribal organizations, policymakers. Everyone just comes together and we talk about the economic development and the economic environment in our region.
Okay. Tell me a little bit, Sean, what Ha'ani is and how you got involved.
Oh, absolutely. So Ha'ani, we are a subsidiary of Sea Alaska Corporation, and we are actually the economic development arm of Sea Alaska. So we focus our energy on economic activities around Southeast Alaska, which is the region that Sea Alaska represents. And so we kind of have an entrepreneurial focus to economic development. So we work with entrepreneurs in trying to help provide resources and assistance to small businesses around the region to help create jobs and strengthen our economy.
Okay. So let's come back to the Innovation Summit as a whole in a minute. But there's something very cool that happens on Tuesday morning. Paul, you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So Tuesday morning, early morning, at breakfast time, we're trying something new this year. We're very excited about it. We've been working on what we're calling the Pitch in the Morning Entrepreneur Pitch Breakfast. So both Ha'ani and JEDC are pretty focused on the importance of small business development and entrepreneurship in terms of creating and maintaining a thriving regional and even local economies. And as any small business owner will tell you, being able to talk about your business is critical. So we've organized a pitch competition where we've got five small businesses and entrepreneurs, emerging businesses from around the region, who will get 6 minutes to pitch their business idea to the ultimate audience, the Innovation Summit attendees. There'll be a few minutes after each of them for questions and answers so that the audience can get a feel for the projects and dive into some of the details that maybe weren't touched on during the pitch. And it's really a great opportunity for these five entrepreneurs to get some exposure, get some feedback, and practice pitching their businesses in a pressure-filled environment.
Okay, so five spots. How much time do they have each, Dana?
I think that
6 minutes.
Six minutes.
6 minutes to pitch, and then we've got about 4 minutes built in for questions and answers for each of them.
Okay, and five businesses. Mm-hmm. How many have signed up so far?
We already went through the process and we selected the five entrepreneurs.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And a very exciting group.
Interesting. So at this point, it's if you want to be part of the audience who gets to listen to these ideas and give them ideas back and guidance.
Absolutely. And one of the cool functions that we're doing in this, not only are the entrepreneurs getting an opportunity to pitch their business to an interested audience, we are adding a crowdfunding component to this breakfast. So to vote for your favorite entrepreneur is $10. And so, you know, we get a room full of people and everyone that pays their $10 to vote gets to say where that money goes to at the end. Whoever wins gets that pool of money as their prize.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
It is. It's, you know, our idea is that we really want to try and attract other entrepreneurs that want to help support other small businesses that are trying to start around the region. And you know, any entrepreneur knows that starting a small business is no small feat, and it definitely takes funds. So in order to make it worthwhile for them not only to get the exposure of pitching their business, they'll also get a little bit of funds to help them along the way of their entrepreneurial process.
Can one of you give me a couple examples of the businesses that are signed up?
Sure. So most of the businesses are from the region. We've got two from Juneau, Amalga Distillery, who's trying to get started, as well as Adventure Flow, which is a tourism outfit who's trying to incorporate a virtual reality into the model. A pair from Kenai called K2 Dronautics. They've got a commercial drone license, and they're trying to find applications for drone work in rural Alaska. The Sawmill Farm from Sitka, who's taking waste products from grocery stores and restaurants and turning it into feed for livestock. And the fifth business, I'm drawing a blank. Oh, the Bush Atlas from Haines, Alaska, which is a user-generated web platform for tips and maps and tools surrounding adventure tourism and trekking around Southeast Alaska.
A very varied but interesting group.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
We're very excited about it.
Yeah, that was kind of the idea. That's why we only have five. We wanted to kind of limit it so that we kept the businesses innovative, we kept them interesting, we kept them, you know, to things that people would want to kind of root for and help along their way.
Okay. If somebody wants to sign up for Innovation Summit, how do they do that?
Well, they can register online at jedc.org/innovation.
Okay, and is there a cost, I imagine?
Yes, right now the cost for the day-and-a-half summit is $295.
Okay, and what time does it start on Monday?
It starts at 1 p.m.
Okay.
But we are encouraging people to come between 12 and 1 to register.
So all Monday afternoon on February 8th into the evening? Or?
Yes, until 8:30 p.m.
Okay.
We have a full schedule.
And then Tuesday, what are the hours on Tuesday?
Tuesday, it starts between 7 and 7:30, and then it goes until about 5 p.m. And then it ends with a Dine Around Juneau event. So, yeah, it's another component that we have where we pick three restaurants, and we encourage the attendees to choose one of those, and then they can have heavy hors d'oeuvres and drinks, and then...
And network.
And is the eating part of the cost?
Yes, it's included in registration.
Correct.
Wow,
there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Give us the website once more, please.
jedc.org/innovation.
Okay. February 8th and 9th at Centennial Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Are we missing anything? Anything you want to add?
Well, I mean, besides the Entrepreneur Breakfast and Dine Around Downtown, we have three amazing keynote speakers from around the world. Dr. Christian Kettles is coming all the way from Stockholm. He's also a Harvard Business School professor, and he's going to be talking about competitiveness at a regional level. And then we have Michael Schumann, who's going to be talking more about the local economy and local businesses. And then we have Karen Pittman, who's going to be talking about investing in the youth, and collective impact and how different sectors can come together to address social challenges.
And in addition to the keynote speakers, do you do group work or anything?
Absolutely. We have innovation shorts. So that's where 10-minute presentations that are happening on both days, and people will recognize the presenters as people from around this community that are going to be presenting on their own business innovations. So, for example, we'll have John Neary from the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center talking about the Climate Change Center and just people around the community. And then we have breakout sessions, mini sessions with the keynotes. So there's a lot of different networking.
Oh, yeah, lots of networking opportunity. We're going to have an innovation lounge, too, so mm-hmm. We'll have booths from a lot of our attendees set up with information about the various businesses and the various industries that they're in.
Okay.
And I'll make one last plug, too, if I have a few seconds. So on the evening of the second day, Hani and the Nature Conservancy will announce the winners of the most recent Path to Prosperity Business Development Competition, which is a sustainable business development program that we've been running for 3 years now. And we just finished this cycle, so we'll announce the winners and present them with their awards on Tuesday night as well.
Sounds very interesting. Again, February 8th and 9th at Centennial Hall, the Innovation Summit, co-sponsored by JEDC and Ha'ani. Thank you so much, Paul, Dana, and Sean, for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
God made man, and man made the rest. man could make anything a good to the best. He could turn the desert to the color of the flowers. He knows all the numbers, the days, years, and hours. He walks into a dark room and turns on a light. He can walk back out, turn the day to the night. He can transplant the heart from one man to another, but he can't sit down and make peace with his brother. His hands are bloody, it never will cease. Man can make anything, anything but peace. Cain to Abel, killing never stops. From the mafioso hitman to the trigger-happy cops. A river of blood runs through a history book. He's got death in his eyes, he's got a mortuary look. He can transplant the heart from one man to another, but he can't sit down and make peace with his brother. His hands are bloody, it never will cease. Man can make anything, anything but peace. Never his fault, his brother is to blame, and the skulls stack higher in the killing game. He hits you first, you hit him last, and the whole thing evaporates in the final blast. He can transplant the heart from one man to another, but he can't sit down and make peace with his brother. His hands are bloody, it never will cease. Man can make anything, anything but peace. Man knows religion and all the names of God, but that never kept him from the killing rod. Jesus fed the hungry, Jesus loved the poor, but that never stopped man from making more war. He started with a stone, he'll end it with a flash, when the flesh comes falling from his bones with a crash. There's blood on his hands, it never will cease. Man can make anything, anything but peace.
Join us February 4th for the next event in the KRNN Spotlight Series, a tribute to Carole King, featuring performances by Colette Costa, Salisa Thole, Shona Osterhout, and Jocelyn Miles, with accompaniment by Rob Cohen and Clay Good. We'll celebrate the 45th anniversary of Tapestry with a full album performance, and we'll also showcase several of her other hits. That's February 4th at 7 at the Goldtown Theater. Tickets at KRNN.org and the station.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on Monday, January 25th, 2016. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 28 minutes after the hour. Joining me on the show now is Christina Pollack. She's a founder, one-time music director, many things, I think, with Alaska Pell. Welcome to the show, Christina.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. So tell us all about Alaska Pell.
Oh, gosh. Alaska Pell is so awesome. It's an amalgamation of the community of Juno. It's just so many people coming together. It's usually around age range of 18 to 28 for the age. But we have had some outliers. We've had young folks. We've had older folks. It's just been crazy, and they're not all UAS students, but UAS has been gracious enough to have us as a club under their status, which has been wonderful. Love that. And so they have become our parent, which has been fantastic.
And common denominator is that you just all love to sing?
We just all love to sing. And because there's no music program at UIS, it's kind of the music program now, which is nice.
And what kind of stuff do you like to sing?
Everything. We have done stuff by Eric Whitaker, the contemporary choral stuff. We've also done a lot of top 40 stuff. We've done folk. We've done rock. We've done. We even did a choral piece in Russian once. We really just like to sing, and whatever happens, happens.
And you're going to be playing at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, we're going to be singing in Carnegie Hall, which is going to be amazing.
You know, no big thing. Just,
big thing. Yeah, fundraise. Practicing is good, but...
Tell us how that came about.
Well, Deke Sharon came up to Juneau, wow, I can talk, last January with the House Jacks, and I got to meet him. He's the producer of Pitch Perfect 2, the sing-off music series on TV with a cappella. Was great. And for him to actually come to Juneau was amazing. So I have, of course, had to, you know, fangirl on him a little bit. And we got talking, and he said, oh, there's an a cappella group here. That's so interesting. About a month later, we get a call from a group called Distinguished Concerts of International of New York. And they said, wow, well, we got recommended that we need to check you guys out. And we checked you out. And we'd like to invite you to come to Carnegie Hall next year.
Wow.
We're all thinking, is this real? is this some sort of scam? And we looked it up, and we're like, wow, this is actually real. This is happening, and they want us to come. So we said yes, and Deke Sharon's going to be our conductor when we get there in March, and it's just been a wild ride.
Very exciting. And what's the concert going to look like?
It's going to look like a whole bunch of a cappella groups coming together in one big group. So 300 to 500 people, I'm thinking, on stage at the same time, all singing music that they've given us ahead of time. We're singing things like All Night Long. We've got a history of music using Beatles songs to do different types of music, Strawberry Fields, Gregorian chant style. We've got Yellow Submarine as a sea shanty. It's just amazing, and it's all got to be memorized before we get there, but we all come together and do that. We actually just auditioned to be a featured group as well.
Wow.
So we could potentially be in front of everybody.
Is Deke and Company going to be recording this? What do you think?
I'm assuming so, but there's, I think, a $500,000 fine for anybody to record that is not a Carnegie Hall operator. So we are going to patiently wait for the DVD to come out, and then hopefully we can... watch it then.
What a great experience that's going to be. But it's not cheap, is it?
No, it is not. We've been paying a lot of money, most of it personal funds, though we've had some amazing help from Skaggs Foundation, L.G. Rayfeld, Mertz, all these amazing personal donors from family and friends. And, my gosh, it's been amazing. But we're still about $5,800 short right now. It's going to come out of our personal funds. And 15 of us are hoping to go, and we... sure could use some help. We're going through the jack right now because we aren't all UAS students. We're a fiscal agency under the not-for-profit organization status of the jack. So it's been really nice to get donations through them. They've been really stellar. I'm so glad they could work with us.
When is the concert again?
March 20th. We have to have all of our funds into them by the 29th of this month.
Okay, so that's, well, the deadline should be like February 12th, or... wait, this month in 4 days?
Yeah, in four
days.
Wow. Yeah.
The deadline's like,
yeah, deadline
3 days.
Is looming. Yeah, so we're trying to get everything to the jack, and they've got everything paid, and we're just trying to pay them back. They've just been wonderful. And,
send Junoites to Carnegie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been really amazing. We're all kind of freaking out.
And so if somebody wants to do that, they go to the Jack's website, or?
You know, actually the best way to do it is by check or cash to the Jack directly at the counter, and you tell them it's directed funds to Alaskapella or the Alaska Pelicans. And the thing is that you have to make out the check or give the payment to the Jack. But in the memo line, you have to specify it's for Alaskapella, or it doesn't quite come through.
Okay. If somebody wanted to learn more about what you're doing, Christina, how could they do that? How can they contact you or a representative from Alaskapella?
Sure. The best way to contact us is through the Facebook page, which is just Alaskapella, ALASKAPELLA, or you can go to our website at www.alaskapella.com, and most of our contact information is on there, and all of our links to the sites that have all of the contact information is on the website in the Contact Us section.
All right. Alaskapella going to Carnegie March 20th. Deadline for fundraising is in a couple days. You can do it by going to the Jack. Christina Pollock, thank you for coming in. Anything else you want to add?
Thank you, Juno, for being so supportive of us just this whole entire time. We've had people offering us gigs to get us funds. They've been offering us all these different opportunities, and I just can't thank Juno and its residents enough. Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 25th of January, 2016. It's the birthday of Virginia Woolf, born in London, 1882. She published 9 novels, including Mrs. Dalloway, To the Lighthouse, Orlando, and also wrote a book called A Room of One's Own, based on lectures that she gave at women's colleges in Cambridge, in which she said, "A woman must have money and a room of her own if she is to write fiction." Virginia Woolf lived with her husband Leonard in Bloomsbury in London, and her room was a downstairs storage room. She had hundreds of books down there, a bed, an old chair, paintings by her sister Vanessa, stone floor, which was cold, but there was a skylight in the roof, and she went down there and wrote for 3 hours every morning, sitting in a wicker chair, using a board for a table, smoking hand-rolled cigarettes. It's the birthday of the poet Robert Burns, born in Alloway, Scotland, 1759, born to an impoverished tenant farmer and his wife. He had a hard childhood, manual labor, but his father valued education, and he taught the boy arithmetic, history, reading, and geography. And he began to write poems when he was quite young, wrote them about a young woman named Nellie Kirkpatrick, and then about other women. Robert Burns had a child with his mother's servant girl, and not long after that, twins with a woman named Jean Armour. He was going to sail off to Jamaica and take a job as a bookkeeper on a plantation, but he didn't have the money for passage to the West Indies, and so he put his poems together to sell them. It came out in 1786. It was called Poems Chiefly in the Scottish Dialect, and it became a great success, and it made Robert Burns famous in Edinburgh. Robert Burns, a singer, who was also responsible for the song that people sing at the end of the year, Auld Lang Syne. He died at the age of 37, became the national poet of Scotland, and on his birthday every year, the 25th of January, Burns suppers are held in many countries where haggis is served, and Scotch whiskey, of course, and cockalicky soup, and a piper plays, and guests take turns reciting the poems of Robert Burns. Here's a poem by Robert Burns on his birthday, his most famous poem, A Red, Red Rose. Oh, my love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Oh, my love is like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. As fair art thou, my bonny lass, so deep in love am I, and I will love thee still, my dear, till all the seas go dry. Till all the seas go dry, my dear, and the rocks melt with the sun, and I will love thee still, my dear, while the sands of life shall run. And fare thee well, my only love, and fare thee well a while, and I will come again, my love, though it were 10,000 miles. A Red, Red Rose by Robert Burns. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by Staples, offering printer ink and toner cartridges for home and business, with in-store print shops offering customized presentations, booklets, and manuals. In-store and online staples make more happen. And by LegalZoom, supporting small businesses with formations, corporate filings, and independent contract and tax advice. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, January 25th, 2016. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 20 minutes until the top of the hour, and I've been joined in the studio now. There's a forum tonight happening at 360 downstairs at 445, and it's called Finding True North. So joining me now in the studio is 360 North producer Jeremy Shea. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And we also have Gail Phillips. She's a Republican who served 10 years in the Alaska House of Representatives, including 3 years as a House Speaker. Representative Phillips, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Nice to have you. And also, Mike Navarre. He's a former Democratic lawmaker who represented the Kenai Peninsula in the 80s and 90s, and he's been the mayor of the Kenai Peninsula Borough since 96. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you. I've actually only been the mayor since 2011. I served from 96 to 99 previously.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show, Mike. Jeremy, can you give us a little outline for what you're going with for the show tonight?
Sure. So Gail and Mike are part of our panel. We'll also have Fran Ulmer, who, of course, is former mayor of Juneau, and she worked as lieutenant governor during the Tony Knowles administration, and she used to lead the House Democrats in the state house here. So she'll be part of the panel, as well as Rick Halford. He's a former Republican legislator who served as Senate president, and he was active in the legislature from the 70s up through 2002. Everyone on this panel has probably seen their ups and downs with the state budget. You know, there was boom and bust years in the range of their experience. And the idea, you know, we've also brought in Dermot Cole, you know, columnist from the Alaska Dispatch News, and Matt Buxton, Capitol reporter for the Fairbanks Daily News Miners, to help us find True North in this this budget dilemma that we're facing now. So, of course, you know, the state's facing a $3.5 billion budget deficit. There's been a big push from the Walker administration and the legislature to try to come to some sort of solution to put the state's budgets and finances back on some sort of sustainable path. So basically, we're going to pick our panel's brains on what advice they have for today's policymakers.
Fiscal challenges, Gail, these aren't foreign to you. Can you give us an example of one that you've helped solve or worked on in the past?
Certainly. When I was Speaker, the price of a barrel of oil fell to $8 a barrel. And those were pretty traumatic times for us, because I think during those years our budget probably was based on $16.50 to $18 a barrel. So you're looking at a budget that half the income coming in. Now, we did have the benefit that our production was significantly higher. So we did have quite a bit of, you know, good revenue coming in. But we were faced with making some major changes and cuts to the budget in those years.
How about you, Mike?
Well, my first year in the legislature was 1985, and in 1986, the price of oil dropped from $26 a barrel to $9 a barrel within a six-month period. So the difference then, as Gail pointed out when she was speaker, is that we had production that was much, much higher, in fact, about four times as high as it is now. So oil price recovery is not going to help us this time. We really do need to find a sustainable plan for the future.
On a scale of 1 to 10, as 10 being really bad times and 1 being great times, where are we right now?
9.99.
No kidding.
We've got to make a decision this year. We've got to take action this year.
That's bad.
It is. Well, when you look at our general fund budget, I think is about $5.2 billion, and we have a $3.2 billion deficit. It is a very significant issue that has to be dealt with this year.
Yeah, if you don't deal with the fiscal crisis today, during this legislative session, then really you create an additional economic crisis, and then it gets much more difficult, and you shut up shut off some of the options that are available to you. So time for action is definitely now. And I think that almost all former legislators agree with that. It's much easier on us because we're just saying what we would do. The folks in the legislature have to make those decisions.
So I know you'll focus. Oh, go ahead, Gail.
Oh, and I was just going to say, right now it's a decision that affects everybody in Alaska, but it's a decision that the legislature needs to make, because if they don't make it this year, and Mike just hit on it, then you're going to start affecting all the businesses that are in Alaska, and businesses will make the decision to leave Alaska if the economy falls, and that's something that we all have to be aware of.
Yeah, you know, one of those pieces, we're already seeing some of that in Juneau, of course, where mm-hmm. our economy is heavily dependent on state government, mm-hmm. and Walmart just announced last week, one of our
right.
huge big box stores, that they're closing down shop in the beginning of February.
Mm-hmm. Well, this sounds like an interesting forum. This is tonight, this afternoon, late afternoon, early evening, 4:45 at 360, doors at 4:15. And like always, they're free, Jeremy, right?
They are free, yeah. And we're soliciting questions in advance. So we've got a little Facebook event up on the 360 North page. If you want to, if you can't attend but you want to ask our panel some questions, you can write them down there, and we'll try to ask them. And we've got some sticky pads out in the lobby, too, that you can jot down your questions for our panel for this afternoon's show.
Okay. And admission is free?
It's free.
And if you can't make it, where does the show go from there?
This one is airing Friday at 8 p.m. on public television on 360 North. And we usually turn these around and put them up on the website as well, or on YouTube and 360 North within a few business days.
Could go viral.
Could go viral. Yep. Yep.
Well, thank you so much, Jeremy Shea, Gail Phillips, Mike Navarre. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, and looking forward to your program tonight. Are we missing anything, Jeremy?
Yeah, we've got a couple more shows if you are interested coming up Tuesday night, 5 p.m., doors open at 4:30. We've got a great show lined up with some great guests. It's Format 360, How Childhood Sexual Assault Survivors Turn Trauma into Art. And we've got Alaska writers Vera Starbard and David Holthaus, who are you know, survivors and victims of childhood sexual assault themselves, and they turned around and years later they wrote plays that kind of drew on those experiences. Vera Starbard, her play has been playing at Perseverance I think the last couple weeks. Her play is called Our Voices Will Be Heard. And then David Holthaus had written some stories for a print publication down south, and then also for the Anchorage Press called I think Boogeyman was kind of the thematic tie, but the original story was Stalking the Boogeyman. And it's kind of just really powerful, fascinating story. He got assaulted as a kid, kind of tucked away in the back of his head, grew up, became an adult, and then crossed paths with the guy who had assaulted him as a kid again later on in life, and, you know, basically hatched a plan to murder him. Came very close to doing it, confronted him, and it's an amazing story. He's a great storyteller. And Jack Dalton, down from, I think he's from Anchorage, will be part of this panel as well, kind of talking thematically about these things. Jennifer Canfield's hosting that. That's Tuesday at 5 p.m. Should be a great show. And then we've got one more show Wednesday, 5 p.m., doors open at 4:30 again. This is more budget-related talks. We're calling it Format 360, Alaska's Deep Money Challenge and What We Can Do About It. So, of course, you know, crude oil is the lifeblood of our economy, and it's selling for less than a third of what it did just 2 years ago. So the state's kind of poised for a recession, and we've got economist Gunnar Knapp down from UAA and the Institute for Social and Economic Research, and Cliff Groh, who I think he's a former legislator and he's a lawyer by trade, but now he's with the nonpartisan public policy group Alaska Common Ground. And they've got, you know, what they're calling version 2.0 of this budget balancing game with wood blocks. And it should be very hands-on, should be very interesting to see if you can balance Alaska's budget.
If people want more information on these forums, where's the best place to go?
Oh, I checked the I checked the 360 North Facebook page, and we've got little events set up for that. And you can make a little calendar event for yourself and share it around if you have any other people that are interested in attending these. Again, all free.
Sounds good. The first one starting tonight,
yep.
At 4:45, Finding True North, Gail Phillips, Mike Navarre, Rick Halford, Fran Ulmer, among others. Thank you for coming in today. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Scott.
Bye.
Back in your memory, the little bell might ring about.
about a time that once existed when money wasn't king. If you stretch your imagination, I'll tell you all a tale about a time when everything was enough for sale. And there was this cat named Johnny who loved to play and sing when money wasn't king. We'd all get so excited when John would give a show. We'd raise the cash between us, and down the road we'd go. To hear him play that music, it spoke right to my soul. Every verse a diamond, and every chorus gold. The sound was my salvation, it was only everything before money. Well, I ain't sure how it happened, and I don't know exactly when, but everything got bigger, and the rules began to bend, and the TV taught the people how to get their hair to shine, and how sweet life would be if you keep a tight behind.
Symphony for an exciting ride at Thunder Mountain High School on Saturday, January 30th and Sunday, January 31st. The concert will open with Mozart's beloved overture from the Magic Flute. Then our youth competition winner, Trevor Fiskus, will join us on piano for Shostakovich's Behemoth's second piano concerto. We will conclude with Brahms' Rapturous Fourth Symphony. Tickets at Hearthside, The Jack, or JunoSymphony.org. Come experience the Juno Symphony. Adventure awaits.
Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon. Scott Burton, your host, about 8 minutes until the top of the hour. I've been joined in the studio now by Pua Maunu. Did I say it right?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. And Jesse Post, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott.
Nice to have you here. So this sounds like fun. Wine and art fundraiser and painting all in one.
Yeah, this is the Alumni and Friends Association. This is a new program that we're putting on for alumni and friends. So, and we've recruited artist and UAS staff member Pua to help us put on this event.
Okay. What do you envision happening at the event? What's the date again?
It's this Saturday, January 30th from 2 to 5 p.m.
And where is it?
It's located on campus in the Soboloff building, so it's the one of the art studios.
Fun. So what do you envision it look like, Pua?
Well, I imagine people will be drinking glasses of wine, eating hors d'oeuvres, having fun, and painting. I'm bringing in just the art part of it. And so we're going to have, basically what I'd like people to do with the finished product is to have something that they can take home and hang and know that they created this piece of art.
Okay, and so instruction will be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there will be a little bit of instruction. I'm gonna assume that People who are attending are beginners in art, so there will be a little bit of, I'll talk about the color wheel, about creating forms and shadow and light, and then do a little lesson on composition as well.
What are a couple of your favorite things to paint?
Well, my very favorite thing to paint is abstract, because that's how I learned, was from an abstract muralist. And when I came to Juneau, I also loved the landscape. And so I do a lot of landscape painting. I paint with a group called Plain Rain Painters in Juneau.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you do that outside a lot?
Yes, yes, it's all outside, rain and snow and sun. The name Plain Rain is a takeoff on plein air painting, which is outdoors. And so because Juneau is so rainy, we named it Plain Rain.
And this is a fundraiser. And where do the proceeds go, Jesse?
Yeah, the proceeds go to the alumni scholarship. And this past year, this last academic year, the Alumni Association awarded $15,000 worth of scholarships. So six students were selected and for $2,500 scholarships each. So, again, this is a fundraiser for the alumni scholarship.
So you get to drink wine, hors d'oeuvres, and paint, and you're helping kids get education.
Right. Yeah. It's a win-win for everybody.
Everybody's winning. Mm-hmm. So this is from 2 to 5 at UAS this Saturday, right?
Yes.
And if somebody wants to sign up, how do they do that?
Well, this is a good and bad thing. We are full. We, due to the studio space, and we wanted to have a good ratio with student-to-teacher ratio, we've limited it to 16 students or participants. So we actually are full, but we'd love to hear from people if they would be interested in having this type of event later on this year, and if Pooh would be gracious enough to maybe do this type of event later on this year. We'd love to hear from people. So.
And where should they go to find you?
They can email us at alumni@uas.alaska.edu.
Okay. Jesse Post and Pua Maunu, thank you so much for coming on the show. Pua, anything else you want to add about the class or the event?
The materials will be supplied. We're going to have all the paints, brushes, canvases, and the pear, which will be the subject matter.
Great. Thanks, you too.
Yeah, thank you, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for tuning in to a Juneau Afternoon. Tomorrow we'll talk with Steve Kosas about this week's planetarium presentation. Shona Osterhout will be here to highlight the upcoming spring break theater classes. We'll get a preview of Jeff Kirsch's humorous writing workshop. We'll get the details about the new JDHS play, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and we'll learn about donating breast milk. As for the weather forecast, it's calling for strong wind late tonight, with rain that will be heavy at times, highs around 43, and becoming windy late rain, gusts up to 40 miles per hour. So batten down the hatches.